2015, the year of visitations, manifestations, and demonstrations of the power of God. It's the year of the open door. This is the award-winning podcast from a History with God Ministries Godcast Network featuring Frank and Christina Sasso. Visit us online at ahistorywithgod.org for articles, links, prophetic words, prayer requests, and other awesome resources. While you're there, consider becoming a partner with us by clicking on the partnership section. Be a part of something big. Make an eternal difference today as you, together with us, bring the message of faith to the world. Together, we can do far more than any of us could ever do alone. And lastly, get on our mailing list to receive your free daily devotion right in your email every morning. They are sure to comfort, inspire, teach, and even challenge you in your walk with the Lord. This ministry is a nonprofit 501c3 corporation, and your giving is tax deductible. And now, let's join the host of this Godcast, Frank Sasso.
Hello, this is Frank Sasso from A History with God Ministries, welcoming you, especially the first time listener, to the Godcast. All of our subscribers, our members, our friends, our family, our partners, our listeners, and again, the all-important first-time listener. It's been a while since I sat here by myself and recorded a Godcast with you guys. Normally, I'm with my wife. I was thinking a lot about the life of David, and something I noticed this pattern that I want to share with you, and also something that just recently happened with a friend of mine, kind of confirmed this message that I want to share. So just going to kind of read this to you. It's a Psalm 145 from 1 to 10. I just want these words to kind of hit you. This is from David, King David. David was a man after God's heart, okay? So Psalm 145, 1 to 10, it says this. Again, let this flow over you, okay? It says, I will exalt you, my God the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. One generation commends your works to another. They tell of your mighty acts. They speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty. And I will meditate on your wonderful works. They tell of the power of your awesome works. And I will proclaim your great deeds. They celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. All your works praise you, Lord. Your faithful people extol you. Your faithful people extol you. I just want to jump back to verse 8. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. And verse 9, the Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. Compassion. That word compassion, it's like kind of, in this sense, kind of talking about your gut, you know? So God feels for you with his innermost being as part of his creation, your situation. Your situation kind of grabs a hold of God, and he's slow to anger and he's rich in love. So this comes from David, who really knew God's heart. He knew who God was, and he screwed up royally. No pun intended. David was a king. He was royalty. He screwed up royally. You know, he wasn't some perfect king, perfect person, as none of us are. I mean, to say that the Lord is gracious and compassionate, that means that you must have done something where his grace and compassion needed to be exercised, right? Those of us who've had a revelation of God's grace and compassion have been in some trouble, me amongst them, for sure. Okay, I'm going to jump over to Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. This is my wife's favorite scripture. Now, I'm reading out of the NIV version of the Bible. This one scripture, it says this. It says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. That's a great scripture, isn't it? I'm going to talk to you today about what our hope is and what our future is. And in order to do that, I want to talk about this concept of a horizon. A horizon is not actually a place. A horizon doesn't even actually exist. A horizon is just something that exists in your perception. So if I'm in a place where I look out onto the horizon and I see some things, if I change locations, the horizon changes, right? So depending on who you are and where you are, the horizon changes. So let's just take a minute. I want us to identify what the horizon of our life is. In other words, when I look out onto the future of my life, what do I see? What's the very last thing I can see before it goes over the bend, before I can't see anything else? And here's how we're going to do that. We're going to do this together. Take a minute, just kind of steal your heart, steal your mind. I want you to finish this sentence. Here's the sentence. I can't wait until, all right? I can't wait until, and you fill in the blank. Just take a minute and do that. Now, if you did that honestly, it's probably a pretty telling answer. And by the way, the answer to that question doesn't mean that you don't have any other hopes and dreams other than the answer to that question. However, it is the first thing that jumped to your head. It's the thing that you're subconsciously aiming at on your horizon. It's like, you know, I can't wait until I finally get to this thing. And I'll be honest, there's been times in my life where that thing has been a material thing. I can't wait until I get a whatever, an iPod. You know, I can't wait until my job changes. I can't wait until I graduate. When you're growing up, especially through school, let's say, there's this continual progression. Like, life is going to start when I get out of elementary school. And you become an eighth grader, and you're like a, you know, you're like this big fish, right? You're like a big deal. You're an eighth grader. You graduate, you start high school, and now you're a freshman. And then you become a senior, and you're like, all right, my life's going to start as soon as I graduate from high school. You know, you're a senior, you're done, and you graduate, and you're like, ugh, my life hasn't started yet, I have to wait till I graduate college. So you start college, and now you're a freshman again. So there's this continual progression, and then you realize, like, when you graduate, you're like, well, life doesn't start now until I get a job. And then you retire from the job after 40 years or whatever, and you realize you're still waiting for your life to start. Because we can always put off, we can always manufacture something on the horizon that is not the call of God on our life. What God wants is to give us a hope and a future that comes from Him. So if you want to change your perspective, you need to look at things from a different place. David said, take me to the rock that is higher than I. You know, bring me to that place, that firm foundation where I can see not what I want to see, but I can see what you see, what God sees. And when you begin to live life towards God's horizon in your life, it means stepping into something that is unattainable in your own strength. It means stepping into a place of faith where in order to accomplish that dream, a miracle has to happen. That's the lifestyle that we're designed to live. That's what a lifestyle of faith is. So I want to walk through David's life a little bit because there's a pattern in his life. And if we can understand that pattern, if we can follow this pattern, it'll put us on a path of pursuing God's dreams for our life and not our own dreams for our life. Okay? All right. So David comes on the scene. He's a shepherd boy. The prophet Samuel comes to Jesse's house. Jesse was David's dad. And there's this really great read in Samuel where there's this cool dynamic where Samuel shows up. And it says that the people in the village, when he showed up, that they were terrified. Because, you know, Samuel's this guy, and he's the prophet, and prophets would bring justice, okay? So they're terrified that, like, why are you here? You know, and Samuel was terrified because he knows that Saul, who's the current king, if he finds out that Samuel's there to anoint the new king, then Saul's not going to like that. So Samuel shows up in town. He invites everyone to a sacrifice. He says, Jesse, you know, bring me your sons. Jesse brings out his sons. And one by one, Samuel says, no, 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 right? And meanwhile, in another part of the estate, David is in a field. He's watching the sheep. In another part of the book of Samuel, it says that David's family, the family of Jesse, was of no account. There was no... This kid was a shepherd boy. He was the youngest in a family. No position. Just out in a field. Watching sheep. I want to paint the picture for you here so you get it. He has no hope. No future. Really. I mean, he has no... What's on David's horizon? More sheep. Like, literally, when he looks out on the horizon, he sees sheep. Okay? That's what he sees. This is not an allegory. There are actually sheep out there, and they're on his horizon. And if he does well after the inheritance gets split like 9 different ways, and he gets the smallest portion because he's the youngest, he might be able to build up so that, you know, eventually he has his own sheep, and he has no horizon beyond this. But we know from the stories that it's in that place, without any knowledge of a future that he can see, there are two things that David was doing. The first thing, and this is the first part of the cycle that I want to give you, he was being faithful to the task that was in front of him. He had no knowledge. His task didn't come to him even from God to his brain. His task came to him from his dad or from maybe his older brothers. But he was faithful in what he was given. And the second thing David did, he pursued the heart of God. In that place, he sang and he worshiped and he gave glory to God for who God is. Wherever you're at, if you're looking to find God's plan for your life, for a place of fulfillment and joy and passion, the absolute simplest way to guarantee that you're on that path is to be faithful with what God has given you today. Be faithful. When you're faithful, there's a promise that Jesus brings to us in the New Testament. He that is faithful with little will be faithful with much, will be trusted with much. So David, who was faithful with little, was called out. How's this for a confusing day? He's called out. There's this prophet guy with the horn full of oil, and he's like, okay, kneel down. I'm anointing you the king. At this point, he probably knew by reputation who Samuel was. Right? So he trusted him. But this is just a surreal moment, okay? Partly because you know what happened the next day? The next day, David, he goes out to watch his sheep again. So here's the pattern. First of all, a demonstration of faithfulness allows God to give you a new assignment. Your demonstration of trustworthiness is what'll bring a revelation of your calling and your next assignment. Faithfulness opens the door to your calling. 2015 is still the year of the open door, okay? Alright, so David receives his calling. And by the way, once you receive your calling, there are some very interesting things that begin to happen. So David's back out watching the sheep. The only difference is he's received his calling from the Lord because of his faithfulness. All of a sudden, there's this very strange verse where King Saul is being tormented by a spirit. Some brilliant young dude who lives in the castle says, you know what? I bet you some music would calm this guy down. And there's a guy named David. When you step into your calling, here's the thing. This is the thing that happens. And you can find it all throughout Scripture. Unusual favor begins to happen on your life. See? David, all of a sudden, went from tending sheep every day to someone saying, hey, you know what? He plays the harp. And he's pretty good. Let's bring him into the castle. The castle is a little bit closer to God's horizon than the sheep were. Now, I want you to see what happens so that you can recognize it in your own life. The very next thing we see after David is anointed, the very next activity that we know that he did is when he's called in to play the harp. He's called into King Saul and he plays the harp. David begins serving King Saul. When God gives you an assignment, the very first thing that you're going to receive as a part of that assignment is an opportunity to serve. David was moved into a location where he could serve someone else. He wasn't functioning as king when he was playing the harp. God says, you have a calling, and because you have a calling, I'm giving you an assignment. And you know what your assignment is? To serve. How many of you listening right now that have gotten your call from the Lord are excited to go and serve somewhere that doesn't necessarily correlate with your calling? But this is the atmosphere that David was in, and he trusted the Lord. All right, so David's there, he's playing the harp, trusting the Lord, and again, there's favor on his life. And so one day we see the story of David and Goliath. David goes out, he says, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? I love that line, by the way. This is ridiculous, let's take care of this guy. Saul says, here's my armor. David says, it's too big for me, I'm just a kid. Here, let me go after him. I got some rocks and I got a sling thing, you know, and I'm gonna kill this giant. And all of a sudden, David is now elevated into this position of favor. He stepped into his calling and all of a sudden there's favor on his life. And he eventually advances in the ranks and becomes a general. I want to show you something, another principle here. Divine favor. 1 Samuel 18:30. Now I'm reading out of the Amplified now. It says this. Then the Philistine princes came out to battle, and when they did so, David had more success and behaved himself more wisely than all of Saul's servants, so that David's name was very dear, highly esteemed, and became very famous. Guess what? David wasn't chosen for his position because he was some military genius. He didn't have more success and behaved more wisely at this because he was a military genius. He wasn't. He was selected because his heart was after God. When you step into your place of calling, into your assignment, this is what favor looks like. All of a sudden, you begin to excel in a way that's totally beyond what's possible in the natural. Why? Because the favor of God is on your life, because of your obedience to serve in the capacity that God's called you to be. David is shining. He's shining. And he's shining because of God's favor on his life. He's being obedient, but this kind of favor is beyond David. He was not the military genius of the century. God's favor and his calling and his assignment was on David's life. Okay, so guess what happens next when you step into a place and the favor of God's on your life and the blessing begins to activate, you know, because God trusts you with resources and opportunities. What do you think happens next? Almost immediately, what happens next? Opposition. And I've heard Graham Cook talk about this, and I've heard my wife talk about this. Almost universally, throughout Scripture, you find as soon as a man or woman steps out in faith to trust God, favor comes, the blessing activates, and then opposition comes. A good friend of mine, his name is Chris, this just happened to him. He got the call on his life that he's a prophet. He gets a word from God to deliver it to one of his bosses. He delivers the word, and then opposition comes. He gets fired. I mean, this is just what happens. It's what happens. With David, here's the favor. The women start singing about him, right? The women start singing songs. Saul has killed his thousands, and David his tens of thousands. Hey, 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 hey. And Saul's like, what the what? 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 That's not cool. That's not cool. I don't like that. King Saul, he's not digging it. So Saul begins to send David into dangerous places, right, so that he'll die. In fact, the story is, Saul's like, I know what I'm going to ask from David. I would like you, David, to bring me 100 Philistines' foreskins. That's what we're going to do. This is what I want from you. And if you bring me those foreskins, you can marry my daughter. What? I mean, aren't you glad dating has changed? Right, so David faces opposition. When you face opposition in the middle of your calling, don't be surprised. Do not be surprised. Because here's why. You ready? Here's why. People who are being faithful in their calling are going to change the world. They are going to change the world. They're going to bring the light of God into dark places. And the enemy doesn't like it. The enemy does not like it. And he wants to bring faithful people to their knees. He wants to break down the success of faithful people. So you can expect when you step into your calling that you're going to experience opposition. And David did experience opposition. And a character trait that I really admire most about David in this whole situation is that again and again and again and again, he demonstrated faithfulness. He was faithful with his sheep, faithful with a little. He was entrusted with a new assignment. God's favor came onto him for that assignment. Opposition came onto that assignment. And he demonstrated faithfulness again. And what did that faithfulness do? It established the platform for him to receive a new promotion. And slowly but surely, David was moved into positions of influence and to greater opposition until finally David is forced to run out into the wilderness because of the opposition he was experiencing at the hand of King Saul. But again, David demonstrates faithfulness. Now watch this. Three times, I believe it was, three times the opportunity to take the Lord's promise of being made king, he had three opportunities to take the Lord's promise, to take the thing that was promised from the Lord, to make it happen. Three times he was given this opportunity to kill Saul. I believe that if David had taken one of those opportunities that he was given to kill Saul, like I'm saying, that he would have been made king. But you know what would not have happened? And this is my own personal opinion. This is just what I believe. The scripture would not tell us that he was a man after God's own heart. The legacy of David, I believe that what elevated him to a position where he was called a man after God's own heart was that he was faithful. and that he would not take, he would not grab hold of the promise. Instead, he held it with open hands and allowed God to be faithful to bring that promise to pass to him in his life. And what he did was continue to serve. He continued to obey, and he continued to allow God's favor to lead him into that position. So let's bring this home. What we want here at A History with God Ministries is for every one of you to find the fulfillment that comes by stepping into the calling that God has on your life. We want you all to come to the place to say, yes, God, sign me up for radical living. We believe that a lot of our listeners, based on some of the emails that we get, are passionate men and women of God. So I want to challenge each of you to take a look, a serious look at your horizon and what's out there on your horizon, and ask God to give you a dream that goes beyond what you're capable of. Ask God to bring you into a place where you can see something that isn't possible in the natural, but instead is a dream that comes from heaven. One of the signs that your dream comes from heaven is that it won't elevate you, it'll elevate someone else. The lamb that was slain is worthy to receive the reward of his sufferings. Now, just so you know, saying yes to this radical life doesn't mean you have to go sell everything and move to China. I mean, it might mean that, who knows? But it all comes back to Jeremiah 29:11. I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not harm you. That calling, that assignment, I'm telling you, you will fit like a key in a lock, where all the gifts that are in you are able to be used in a way that's fulfilling and encouraging and inspiring and is life-giving. That's the design of heaven for your life. That you will be filled with the overflowing joy of the Lord, that everything you put your hands to is successful. Why? Because you have the favor of God on your life. This is the design of heaven, and it's not inaccessible. It's absolutely not inaccessible. It's accessible to every single one of us, and it starts simply by being faithful with where you're at. I'll close with this. In the midst of being faithful where you're at, there are two sidetracks that I just want to quickly mention. The first sidetrack is to become comfortable and convince yourself that what is on the horizon is God's plan for you. In one sense, that sounds crazy. I'm totally after God's plan, you know, but it's pretty easy to substitute God's plan with a plan of our own and to become complacent and to begin to live. We know some people that their answer to I can't wait until blank is the weekend. Like, that's what they're living for. I can't wait until the weekend just to make it the weekend, right? Just to make it, just to get out of my life for 2 days and then back to this thing that makes me unhappy and miserable. That is a sad state of affairs, my friends. A sad state of affairs. God has a plan that sets you apart where you will find fulfillment and purpose. So the second sidetrack is this. You're moving forward and God says, okay, here's the dream. And you take a look at that dream and you think, that's not possible. There's no way that can happen. That must not, it can't be God. That cannot be God. God, if this were you, it wouldn't be so hard. So we hear the call, we see the opportunity to pursue it, and because of fear, or because of something your broke brother-in-law says, right? Or because of the desire for comfort, or because of a lack of clarity with our understanding, we choose to ignore it. And the moment that you do that, the moment that you hear from God, you hear a dream and it touches a piece of your heart, something leaps inside of you, the moment that happens and the voices come, you can't do this, this is impossible. You know, your emotions start to overwhelm that little light and you start to shut it off and you embrace complacency. That's that second sidetrack. But after having felt it, you kind of have to put blinders on, because once you heard the voice of the Lord and said no to it, you can't really say no. You can say no in your choices, but your heart will always tell you the truth. Your heart will tell you the truth. So for any of you right now that have maybe gone down one of those side tracks, maybe you found yourself complacent in your life, or you find yourself in a place where you heard God, but for whatever reason, you said no, not right now, today's your day. Because the Lord is gracious and compassionate. He is slow to anger and rich in love. And he knows the plans he has for you, plans to prosper you and give you a hope and give you a future. And that's who he is. And it starts today. How does it start? It starts with embracing everything that he's given you today. And, you know, we are rich. We're wealthy. We have all things through him. Embrace the place you're at right now today and say, Lord, I will be faithful with what you've given me, and I will hear the call. I'm listening, God. I'm waiting for the moment. Your faithfulness will not go unanswered. Your faithfulness will open the door for the blessing to activate and do great things in your life. Ponder that. Meditate on that. Think about that. And then put some legs to it. Put some action behind it. And remember, we love you. God loves you. And Jesus is Lord. Stay blessed.
Thank you for listening to today's broadcast from the History with God Ministries. This teaching is a powerful ministry tool that you can use to experience the power of God in your life. Thank you again for listening and for helping us reach the world with the love of Jesus. A History with God Ministries. Seeing, hearing, remembering. Until next time, remember, we love you, God loves you, and Jesus is Lord. Stay blessed.